The beauty of the music this morning is itself a sort of baptism. We sometimes long to take a spiritual shower, to bathe ourselves in the living waters of grace, faith, hope, life, and love. Especially, it might be stressed on any college campus today, the need for spiritual cleansing is continual. We need both judgment and mercy, both honesty and kindness, both prophetic upbraid and parabolic uplift. And we get them, thanks be to God, this morning in Jeremiah and in Luke. But look, they come upside down. In a stunning reversal, kindness and gentle hope are the hallmarks of our passage from Jeremiah, while wrath and hellfire explode out of Luke. Listen again to the voice of the prophet, one of the great strange voices in all of history and life, one of the great strange voices in all of Holy Writ, Jeremiah. All is lost in Judah as Jeremiah addresses Zedekiah the king. You will be a slave in Babylon, King Zedekiah. You will be given into the hand of your sworn mortal enemy, and so too will be the fate of your city, your temple, your people, and your country, King Zedekiah. But nonetheless, nevertheless, and yet, these are sweet resurrection words, but nonetheless, nevertheless, still, even so. And Jeremiah put his money where his mouth is, or was. In this season of cultural demise and decay across our country, we benefit from the harsh challenge of Luke, and we benefit from the hopeful promise in Jeremiah. You see, there is more Luke in Jeremiah than at first you think, and there is more Jeremiah in Luke than at first you think. Luke addresses our sin. Sin is not doing concrete deeds of generous kindness. Sin is not doing generous deeds of kindness. Of all the Gospels, St. Luke most emphasizes this in the Sermon on the Plain, in the wording of the Lord's Prayer, in the parables of sower, Samaritan, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, dishonest steward, guest to the wedding banquet, the 10 healed lepers, and so on. Luke most addresses this in the communal interest extended to Samaritans, those of different ethnic and religious background, to women, those whom tradition has marginalized, to the poor, those left forgotten in transaction and acquisition, to the lepers, those ritually and culturally excluded. To read Luke is to be given eyes to see by contrast abroad in America today an emerging culture of denigration and to weep. This is an ancient mirror held up to and for us all, and in some measure, we have contributed to a culture that is uncultured, a rhetoric that is rancorous, a politics that is impolitic, an increasingly uncivil civil society, a rejection of hard-won experience and preparation in favor of careless entertainment and tomfoolery, a preference for cruelty over beauty, and a robust willingness to throw away hundreds of years of painstakingly crafted institutional commitments and social norms. The centrality of generosity is set for us in today's harsh parable of Lazarus and Dives, the harrowing horror of what it means to forget the needs of the poor. Such forgetfulness is a persistent threat in the heart of all human life, but is especially challenging for those who have much and so are sheltered routinely from the anxiety of poverty, the hurt of exclusion, the pain of hunger, and the despair of lack and loss. Sin is the unwillingness on a weekly basis to practice generous kindness. Luke chillingly reminds us so. And Jeremiah? Jeremiah addresses our salvation. Now that his beloved country is in ruins, Jeremiah does something great. Remember 587 BCE. The city is burned, the temple is wrecked, the population is slaughtered or in chains, and the nation is destroyed, soon to spend two generations in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept, as our tormentor said to us, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. But Jeremiah buys a plot of land. One day, a long time from now, he muses and prays, there will be some manner of restoration. I cannot see it. I cannot hear it. I cannot prove it. Sometimes I cannot believe it. But hoping against hope, I will buy some land, and someday, somebody, somehow, will use it. This is faith, to plant trees under which you will not sleep, to build churches in which you will not worship, to create schools in which you will not study, to teach students whose futures you will not know, and to buy land which you will not till. But someone will, or at least that is your hope. And in that hope, hope against hope, salvation. That is why today, as darkness is falling across a confused, frightened, and benighted land, you have done some things this week, this year. You offered a morning prayer. Good for you. You sent a check. Good for you. You went and volunteered. Good for you. You spoke up and spoke out regardless of the fan mail, family disdain, and other costs. You did something. Will it make a difference? It may not, but it does make a difference to you, for you, if for no one else. So go and buy your little plot of land. After 40 years of preaching sermons hardly anyone listened to, and just before being buried at an unmarked grave, Jeremiah looked up, reached higher, saw things from a higher ground. Today, with our Jewish sisters and brothers, we celebrate a new season, a new year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and in our Bach Cantata, a New Year's celebration. Dr. Jarrett, what does our cantata, this New Year's cantata, sing out for us today?
For more than a decade, music at Marsh Chapel has cultivated our own little plot of land, the rich and fertile soil of the vocal works of Johann Sebastian Bach. The endeavor around the recreation of this extraordinary repertoire by our players and singers is its own form of activism, faith, even tithing, perhaps. And over time and our shared commitment, maybe Jeremiah might even see restoration. This year's cantata series explores four works Bach composed for New Year's Day. At the highest altitude, these are joyful and celebratory cantatas, at least in the outer movements. To be sure, the inner movements can be counted on to remind us of the gloom of sin and death at some point. Today's cantata, number 41, Jesu nun sei gepreiset, or Jesus now be praised, numbers among the great chorale cantatas from Bach's second annual cycle of cantatas in Leipzig. In these remarkable works, the great hymns of the faith, chorales, are the Alpha and Omega. Today's cantata sets the outer verses of Johann Hermann's 1593 text exactly in the opening and closing movements, while paraphrasing the inner verse of the chorale in the arias and recitatives within the cantata. The passing of the old year and the welcoming of the new year takes on various dimensions for each of us, and for Bach and his congregation, they were reminded that as the old year is analogous to the Old Testament, the new year reveals the hope of resurrection from the New Testament, law and grace. And perhaps a more obvious temporal analogy, our mortal life on earth is the old year that passes, and the new year represents our hopes for the life eternal. For this reason, the central text offers a prayer for mercy and salvation upon the believer's death. Finally, the bass soloist reminds us that the mortal life is constantly thwarted and threatened by Satan's works, potentially jeopardizing our hope for life in eternity, the new year of our soul. Musically, this cantata is extraordinarily rich in invention and detail, from the first measure to the last. For the central aria, our principal cellist, Guy Fishman, plays a five-stringed cello called a cello piccolo, with music that seems to depict our earthly toil in sincere and honest strains of astonishing difficulty. The joyful soprano aria heard immediately following the opening choral movement features dance rhythms and a choir of merry oboes. However, nothing can sufficiently prepare the listener for the glorious opening movement. The chorale is faithfully rendered in long tones in the soprano part, with truly astonishing invention all around. Here, Bach gives us bold concertante writing in the latest style, think New Year, with the final two lines of the text set in the old contrapuntal or fugal style, before recasting those same lines of text to the new music. Truly a dialectic of old and new styles transformed by their relation to one another. As academic communities at schools and colleges throughout the country commence a new year this month, they too engage in this dialectic of the hope of new beginnings forged in the knowledge and wisdom of those who have gone before. And of those who have gone before, few surpass Bach's capacity to reveal new heights and hopes for our daily strivings and our future together.
Beloved, given this New Year vision, you may want and need to shift your perspective, to alter your angle of vision, to see things from higher ground. Some measure of health or salvation or mental sanitation may require it. Our Bach cantata today will help us to go higher still. The Matterhorn is the most beautiful mountain on our planet. Today the beautiful, tomorrow the true, the next day the good. An excellent view of the majestic alpine peak may be found in Zermatt. If, as memory serves, you can drive to Zermatt, rent an old Duchevaux, say, a pristine alpine village, snow-laden in the summer, its shops and hostels windswept and well-kept. The view from Zermatt is fine. You can share it in physical comfort and communal fellowship. The Matterhorn, just before you. There is, though, a better view, for which, though, you will need to shift your perspective, to alter your angle of vision, to change your social location in order to see things from even higher ground. High up to the southeast in the craggy mountain cliffs, there is, farther up, the small hamlet of Gornergrat. To get up there, if and as memory serves, you must take an open chair by chair, chain rail car, ascending at 45 degrees, up and up and on up, nearer to the summit, and far closer to your ideal aspirational view of the true, good, and beautiful. The ride is short, but terrifying. At the top, mid-July, thick snow, hard ice, brisk wind, and a coldness of cold await you, as does the mesmerizing thrall of the Matterhorn. Step gingerly out of the old open rail car. Get your footing. Get your mountain sea legs. Raise your gaze. Raise your gaze. There. A new way of seeing. Luke, Jeremiah. A new way of thinking. Luke, Jeremiah. A new way of being, the beauty of Bach. Health and sanity may impel or compel you to higher ground. Our climate, our nation, our denomination, all in peril. They hang in various and awkward balances. What is the next ride up for you? Up the cable car, into the unforeseen. And what beauty will carry you? Ours is this choral song. Thine alone is the glory. Thine alone is the praise. Teach us to bear affliction. Govern all our deeds. Amen.